Welcome to the Raising Confident Girls podcast, your guide to raising strong, confident daughters. I'm Melissa Jones, the founder of Girls Positivity Club and a teacher for over 20 years. In a world where girls often feel overwhelmed, anxious, and confused, this podcast is your go-to space. As caregivers, we navigate challenges together. I founded Girls Positivity Club to provide a place where you belong and get the tools to face today's hurdles. Consider this your regular check-in with a trusted friend, offering insights and practical tips for meaningful conversations. I'm here to help you feel confident on this journey of raising a generation of empowered girls. Let's dive in and raise those confident girls together. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy you're here today because we're going to be talking about a topic that I hear from a lot of parents. But before we dive into that, thank you so much for being along with me on this journey in this podcast. This is a new podcast, and I am grateful for you, whether this is your first time or whether you've been back for every episode. So I wanted to thank you for that, and all the kind words about how you are liking the show is much appreciated. So if you have not given our podcast a 5-star review and you are finding it valuable, I'd really appreciate that because it will move it up and for more people to see, which is the goal. This whole mission is about helping raise a generation of confident girls. And this is one way for me teaching through this podcast to help caregivers of girls and impact them as well as the girls' lives. So I really do appreciate it. And today's topic is really about stress. I think that it's really easy to think that kids shouldn't have any stress. In an ideal world, they wouldn't. And I think that it's also part of life that we have to teach them is how to manage it in healthy ways. So today I wanted to talk with you about what to do when your daughter is stressed. So some people think that girls only feel stress for certain things or that they have to be a certain age. And that's actually not true. What is really the case is that kids know what stress is at a young age. So I recently asked my club, Girls Positivity Club, that I'm still running in person, which I love. And these girls are between 6 and 11. And I asked them, do you girls know what stress is? And they were like, yeah. And even the really tiny girls did. And I said, well, what is it to you? And they scrunched up their shoulders and they like made their bodies tight and they like squished their eyes together. And they were like, this is stress. And I was like, okay, what have you ever felt that? How many of you have ever felt stress? Because I never want to force an emotion on them. If they've not felt it, great. But if they have, I want to provide that space for them. And I hope you do that for the girl in your life as well. It's like, you know, you don't want to project anything on them like, oh, what are you stressed about? But you also want to keep that conversation open to where you can acknowledge it and help them process through it in positive and healthy ways. So the girls were saying that to them, stress is when they're rushing around, when they're busy, when they're late, or tests. Tests really do come up, and it doesn't always mean like a standardized test. I know in Indiana, this is the testing season, and kids do get really stressed, even though teachers are great about setting the mood, making things very comfortable. I used to play soft music before and, you know, do all kinds of things, and a lot of teachers do that. They have ways for the girls or the kids in the class to relieve stress, but a lot of girls internalize it. And I think it's important for us to talk about today because I want to support you as your friend in this journey of helping girls feel like they can have some control over that inner chaos that they might be feeling when they're feeling stressed. So when I think about it and I think of them shrugging their shoulders up and squishing their eyes together, that really is how we feel. The best part about kids is that they are very descriptive. And I think that it can be a little bit harder to describe as they get older because things can get a little bit more complicated because then we have stress of fitting in and stress of body like how your body looks and the way it's supposed to look in society and social media and all these extra stresses that can be added on to our girls. And when I think about two girls this week or two examples that have come up with stress. So the first example is a middle school student who was telling me that it was her birthday week this week, very exciting. And at the same time, she felt like there was this dark cloud of stress with her because it is a time where it's the end of a grading period and she had three major tests that week. And I think a lot of our girls feel this way. It's like, I think that it should be a national holiday that everyone should have their birthday off, but you know, that's really not the case at this point. I think it should be, but that's just my own opinion. And also, when you do things on your birthday that are not enjoyable, it makes it a little bit harder, or like something that kind of rains on your parade a little bit when it's supposed to be a day of celebration. So she is still going to get a great celebration, all of that, but it brought up the point of like, okay, some days, even on special days, you can feel stress. You can feel a mix of emotions. You can feel happy that it's the whatever special day. Maybe it's a special event your daughter's going to, or maybe it's a holiday or something that they're looking forward to. I had a girl last week that said she was really looking forward to going to a wedding. And those can be opposing ideas because it's like, okay, I have this one good thing happening, but then I also have the stress of these tests or whatever it is. And what I hear from a lot of girls in that middle school, high school age, and yes, it does come up in elementary school, is that perfectionism that doesn't necessarily come from the parents. It comes from the girls wanting to do really well so that it has a positive effect on their future. So they can become obsessive about grades. So I have some girls who think that it's failing if you miss like one or two things. And then others that they're proud when they only miss one or two because they see their progress. So there's always a range, right? And when you have a daughter who's very high achieving and loves achievement, loves accomplishment because she feels a sense of confidence in that or feels like that's her thing, the danger of it is that she internalizes that she can't make a mistake. And I really have not heard one girl who has perfectionism tendencies tell me that it's because her parents put so much pressure on her. It is more times than not, and really every experience I've had, that the girl is putting the pressure on herself because somewhere along the way, she has found that pride and accomplishment and has determined that that's her thing. And that if she doesn't achieve at that high level, that she's failing somehow. And that can create that internal conflict and that chaos and also that stress and worry that can come up with the perfectionism and wanting to do things right and beating yourself up if you make a mistake. And let's be honest, I think as adults, we can carry that with us too and really beat ourselves up. Like we can be our own worst critics sometimes when we make the mistake that we don't think we should have made, or we, you know, just kind of dwell on it in that, I call it with the girls, that negative tornado that you can create in your mind. And so when this perfectionism comes up, it can create this stress and this dark cloud over the week or over the day. And what we want to do is empower our girls to know what to do in those cases because they don't have to live in that feeling. And another example is when this week I had a leadership call with my leaders, my Girls Positivity Club leaders, because I don't lead every club. And they were describing, this one leader was describing a girl in her class, and they had just started doing standardized testing. And it's a thing to have parents write in notes of encouragement to the kids. The danger in that is that sometimes when parents are busy, or they don't see the note that they're supposed to do this, or somehow they miss it, is that a kid can be left out. And there's typically a few kids in class who don't get notes sent in from school. And in that case, the teacher usually writes letters for the kid, but the kid still notices. And in this case, it was a girl. Because you can cover it up as much as you want and like still encourage them and say, well, I'll be the one writing the note. But the thing is, they notice that all the other kids have parents who have written them notes. And it doesn't mean they have bad parents, or it doesn't mean that their parents don't love them. It just means that it was somehow missed, or it wasn't seen as the value that the kids place on it in class. And I think we can underestimate sometimes the power of a positive note, which we'll come back to later. But the really cool thing, though, about this story is that this girl had her head on her desk crying, and the teacher went over, my leader went over and was like, "Hey, you know, are you okay?" And she lifted her head up, and she had written herself a word of encouragement, an affirmation. She had been her own encourager, her own cheerleader. And that was what the lesson was in the Girls Positivity Club that week. And she had already applied it to her own life, and she was already using it to cope with something that was hard. So I thought that was a really powerful moment when she was feeling not only stress about the test, but also that sadness and stress that she was the only one who didn't get a note from her family. And I'm sure that, again, her family, if they would have known, they would have done things differently maybe, but hopefully, I'm hoping that that would be the case. But what I thought was really cool is that even at a young age, this girl is in third grade, so about 8 years old. They can learn these skills young. So that's why anytime I talk about what we do in Girls Positivity Club, people always say, "What age? Is it like middle school?" And I'm like, "No, we start as young as 5 and 6. And they're like, "Wow, really?" I'm like, "Yes, you can teach this young." And that's my intent, is that we're teaching girls this all along the way. Now, it doesn't mean it's a lost cause if you started at a later age, but it's crucial to know that you're planting these seeds along the way that's going to really stick with your daughter and help her internalize these things so that when she has challenging times like that, she can work through it herself. And those are like a couple of school ideas for different examples for when kids feel stress. They can also feel stress in social situations. So like something happened with their friend group, and I've heard this lots of times, they're afraid to go to school and face those other friends because they're afraid that they'll be mad at them, or they're afraid the conflict will still be there, or whatever it is. Maybe they told about something and the other girl's mad that she told on her, even though it was the right thing to do. It can also be, you know, body things. Like sometimes there can be a comment made about someone's body, and maybe it was on purpose and maybe it wasn't. Sometimes kids don't think about what they say, but that can also cause stress about, you know, her, how she looks and how she feels about her body, things like that. So stress can come in a lot of different places. And as a parent or caregiver, you might be feeling like really lost on what to do, or you tell her to do certain things and it doesn't really work all the time. And I think coming up with the same thing over and over again, if it works, beautiful. That's something for her to use. But what I like is to help them come up with a toolkit for what they can do in different situations. And really, it's about them trying different things out instead of always doing the same thing, unless that one thing happens to work for them every single time. So common problems with not addressing stress with girls is that they keep it inside. They stuff it down. They keep it inside. They don't find a way to release it in a positive way. And or it can come out as anger, as doing things that are not positive, and that can really start to harm them emotionally. And if they try to release something, it doesn't work. That can be a common problem too. Like, "Oh, I tried breathing techniques and the breathing doesn't really help me." Or, "I tried going for a walk, but I still thought about it the whole time." Or, "I tried this and that." So it really is about figuring out those things that you can try and having that menu in your mind of what you can do. And I'm going to talk too about how to make it like a visual too, because I'm really big on that. Also not knowing what to do. Like, "I don't know what to do to relieve this stress. I have all these tests. I don't know what to do besides study." Like, studying will help me. Like, being prepared will help me. But I think it's also taking it to that next level of like, okay, that's true. You can prepare. Now what else do I need emotionally? And then future thinking can be a problem. So this can kind of creep into anxiety. But just thinking about, if I do bad on this test, this is what this middle school girl told me, is like, if I do bad on this test, I won't get into a good college. Well, she already has a 99% in that class. And what I tried to tell her is that missing one question on a quiz that was 7 points is not going to make an impact on that. And what I think a lot of girls do that have high expectations for themselves about grades is they think that every single point counts. And it's like that spotlight effect where they feel like the spotlight is on every mistake they make, and that there's this like admissions person who has a clipboard and they're like, nope, she missed one problem on this one test. So I think they often think that because it feels like that inside, like, oh my gosh, I can't miss anything. And that's why a lot of high achieving girls feel so stressed, is because they feel like they have to be so tightly wound that they can't ever mess up or their future is going to be ruined. So that's another problem that can come up. And stress can also lead to panic attacks. And this would be an extreme case. And this would kind of be stress and anxiety, but panic attacks can happen too. So these are all problems that not addressing stress can be for the girls in your life. And what we want though is solutions, because this is not a doom and gloom podcast. This is one where you can be like, okay, here are the problems. Yes, I'm with you. What can I do? So here are some ideas. This is like coming up with a menu. So think of a menu like a restaurant, and you can explain it to your daughter like this. You go to a restaurant. Okay, maybe you want the chicken fingers every time. Nothing wrong with that. Or you get the same thing every time, but at least you have options. So if chicken fingers works for you every time, great. But if you like to mix it up and get it something different, then you have that menu to choose from. It's not like you get a menu and it has one thing on it that every person has to use. And also your menu of stress relief can look different than someone else's. So it really is about you figuring out what that is for you. And I'm talking to all the parents and caregivers too. This is something that you could use in your own life. So number one is, like the girl did in the class, write yourself a note of encouragement. I was really big on this in the classroom, and people probably thought I was crazy by doing this, but I didn't care because I knew that it helped the kids. I would have them, every time we took a test, I would give them a pep talk right before. I would tell them they knew what to do. They had practiced, and all this was one day, in 1 hour, they were going to show me what they knew at this point, and then I would use that to help me help them. So that's always how I frame tests, but still kids got nervous. It's just the nature of a test or any kind of assessment. So I would have them write themselves a note at the top of their test, and it was for them, and I would go around and check. I made them do it because I know the value and the power of doing that. And I would even have them write a note on every page of the test if it was a long test. And they could write the same thing on all of them, or they could write a sticky note and just put it beside their test. I gave them a choice. They could do that. So that's just what the girl did too. It's like you learn how to be your own encourager and tell yourself you can do it. And it doesn't have to be something like, I am perfect at everything. It can be, keep going. Do your best. I can do this. I've got this. What if it all works out? What if I do great? Whatever it is. So it's writing themselves a note. And also I'm a big fan of putting them on the mirror. So I had a mom a few years back who one morning or several mornings, not in a row, but she would oftentimes take index cards or she would take sticky notes and she would write her daughter a positive note and put it on. And I've heard of a dad doing this too. Girl dads do this too. So putting notes on their mirror or putting them by their breakfast, if they sit down for breakfast, or putting it on a snack or something, but having them see it right away in the morning to give them that positive burst, and knowing that not only do they believe in themselves by writing themselves a note, you can do the same thing. Or the same mom would write like positive traits about her daughter: determined, strong, smart, brave, all those things. And she would put them in different places where her daughter could see them. And her daughter really loved that. So that's one thing, notes of encouragement. The second thing is, if she feels like it's a tornado in her mind, having her write it down and rip it up into shreds. For whatever reason, I've talked about this before, it is very healing to get it all out. And again, you're not reading it. You're not making them read it out loud. You're not having them tell anyone. They can just get every negative thought out that they want. And then they just rip it up like confetti and they throw it away. And there's a lot of satisfaction in doing that. And it doesn't mean that that stress never comes back, but at least they're able to get it out of their head and just get rid of it. It's kind of like if you've ever done a brain dump, you just get all the things that you know you have to do, you just get those all out and write them down, and then you can just like breathe because it's all out. So that's one thing that I love to do, and the girls love it. They always smile and laugh when they rip it up. And then doing what you love, whatever that is for your daughter, if it's dancing, drawing, shooting baskets, writing, crocheting, anything, literally kicking a soccer ball, anything that they love to do, playing with the dogs, taking time to do that. You're really stressed, go do something you love. We'll come back to this later. Or just in the moment, like, okay, I need to draw right now. It helps me clear my mind. And that's what they do. So then they do something they love, listen to music. And another thing is physical release. So that could be going for a walk. That could be riding her bike. That could be going for a run. That could be punching your pillow. I've done that before where I just felt this. I just needed to have some aggression come out and not in a way where I would hurt anyone. But I've just taken a pillow. My mom taught me this when I was young. Take a pillow. I'm not going to come in. But you just take a pillow and you just punch it on your bed. So this was a safe way because the pillow was soft. And it really helped me get that out, that frustration out. And then I could breathe and calm myself down afterwards. So that was a really good one. And that release is different for each person. It might be skating. It might be anything. Like whatever that is for your daughter. And then breathing, doing that deep breathing. There's all kinds of tools online. You can find different types of breathing. And really it's finding ones that work. So the parasympathetic breathing is always good, where you breathe in, hold for 7 seconds, let it out for 8 seconds. So usually you breathe in like 4 or 3. And we'll have to look that up. But yeah, that's a really good type of breathing. It's often called box breathing. So that would be an easier way to look it up. And that's really powerful. I usually do 4, 7, 8. And they breathe in, they inhale for 4, hold it for 7, and then release and let that be audible and just let it out for 8 and do like several rounds of that. That's what I usually teach the girls. And then there are fun types of breathing. There's dragon breathing, there's birthday candle breathing, there's star, there's rainbow, you can find all kinds if you just Google it. And calming apps are really great too, and they work differently for different girls. So I love a calming app, but it depends on my mood. Like sometimes a calming app will be really great for me, and other times I need to do something else. So again, it's about making that menu, and you can make it visual. Have her make like a tic-tac-toe board where she's putting in different things that she thinks might help relieve stress. She can put it in her room and then go and pick one of those that she feels in the moment. Same thing with stretching. Stretching is great sometimes, and you have to know, like, stretches make me feel really good in my body and help me release stress. Nature, going out in nature, even if it's cold, yes, getting on your coat and taking a walk around the yard or whatever that is, going and, you know, there's something about being around trees or in grass, taking your shoes off and letting your toes be in the grass, and it's really healing and really grounding. So those are some other things that you can do. Talking to animals. I used to talk to my dog all the time. And the best part about talking to your dog is she won't tell anyone. You can say anything you want. You can vent everything you want. And it's not that I wouldn't have said these things to my parents or to my friends, but it just felt good that they weren't going to talk back to me. I could just release it and just talk to my animals. And so I still do that sometimes today and just tell them about something that's on my mind. And you know that they listen to you and they usually hug you or kiss you. I feel like animals have that intuition, and that can be helpful. Even a fish, talking to a fish, you know, it's one of those things. It's just as a release for whatever reason. And I'm sure there's animal research about that. And obviously people, you can vent it to people, to friends, to safe people that they trust. And then making a plan. If it's something like studying, making a plan like, okay, I'm not going to study for 8 hours, but I'm going to study for the next 30 minutes, and then I'm going to take a break and go do something else. And then the next day, I'm going to study for this long. So especially for the ones who are high achievers, making a plan helps them feel in control. And this girl I'm describing, she even made herself a calendar and highlighted. And that was very calming for her, is like highlighting in different colors. So if you have a very logical daughter who likes checks and balances and lists, having highlighters and helping her come up with a system that helps her feel more in control and relieve stress is really powerful for her too. And then positive self-talk. Obviously, being your own cheerleader, talk to yourself the way you would a best friend. Tell yourself encouraging things instead of being a huge critic of everything you do. And changing your environment. You know, sometimes you just need to switch an environment if you can control that. Go into a different part of your house. Go outside. Go to a friend's house. Like, having her switch her environment is another really good tool and thing to do. So that was about 10 different things that you can try. And I highly recommend you making a menu that she can have as a visual, because it's hard in the moment when you're stressed to think of all these things. And these are not the only things you can do. You can squish things, you can squeeze things, you can hug a stuffed animal, whatever is comforting, reading, learning, whatever that is for your daughter or the girl in your life, encourage her to figure that out. Help her make a menu. Even if she's an older girl, there's power in collaborating with someone and helping them process through stress. And I hope you can also use this in your daily life. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Thanks for joining another empowering episode of the Raising Confident Girls podcast. Share today's insights with caregivers and friends, building beautiful relationships with strong girls. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're not just a podcast, we're a community. Follow Girls Positivity Club on social media for more empowering content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. This podcast empowers you, supporting incredible girls. Let's create strong, beautiful relationships with the girls in our lives. I appreciate you listening today. Stay confident, stay connected. Until next time, keep raising those confident girls. You've got this.